Welcome to the Hot Level Podcast, Kevin AC, Padres beat writer, but not for the next 2 days. I mean, I'm taking off that cloak, Jay. Jeff Sanders is in Seattle to watch two, let's be honest, not very good teams right now. Jay Posner, Sports Center of the Union Tribune. Jay, what do we, we've reached the point that feels a lot like 2018, where we're not real interested in this series just on its own. That's different for this season.
No, it is. And what do you mean you're not in Seattle?
Who
approved this? What is going on here? You gave up a road trip to one of the great cities in the country. Something must be going on. So,
well, it is. We are 2/3 through the season. Went to Seattle earlier in the year, as a matter of fact, for those exhibition games. Those were thrilling. And at some point, you got to take a step back, and I think it's a good time to take a step back because. Look, I feel like we're at, the tipping point, the turning point. The rest of the season really does feel like a look forward to me.
No, I agree. I mean, I think at this point, and it really did, be honest, a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
But, last week you had sort of the interest of playing the Dodgers, and it was certainly an entertaining series at times. Definitely not the way it ended for the Padres and their fans. I mean, you don't expect, after everything that went on in that game and whatever was goofy and messed up and everything else, the Padres had a 10-7 lead, and they had Andrés Muñoz and Kirby Yates lined up, and they couldn't win. I mean, that's one of those things where it's just, and you kind of got this sense like after Muñoz got in trouble, well, you still have Yates with a one-run lead and everything, and it just didn't happen, and it's kind of a little bit of a microcosm of the season where, even when things are going well, something comes along and sort of, messes them up. And, Yates has had his problems against the Dodgers this year. Muñoz wasn't going to be perfect in his career. It didn't help that after a great defensive play by Hosmer, who has not made some great defensive plays recently but did make one there, the second baseman who's supposed to be so reliable, Urias makes an error, and
come in for that purpose.
Right, and because Garcia, let's be honest, he had messed up a couple plays in the series in recent games.
Great Garcia
as
would
well.
Be starting at second base for somebody if he could play defense.
Right, and I had no problem with playing Garcia for a couple days there. I mean, there's no reason that Urias couldn't get a break, and you certainly didn't want him playing against Maeda with the numbers. Why not play Garcia? He's been very good against right-handers. It was a good time to give Urias a little bit of a break, and then he came in and probably tried to make a play that he couldn't have done anyway in terms of, just get one out there. Obviously issues with Mejia and Yates, or maybe it was Yates and Urias. I mean, who it was kind of hard to tell who Kirby Yates was yelling at. But he wasn't very happy. So real quick, I guess I should ask you, what was your read on that situation there at the end of the game with an obviously angered Kirby Yates?
Clearly frustration with Francisco Mejia. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's tough. I mean, teammates want to protect a guy, and certainly after the game, that was the message was, Mejia's doing his best, and Kirby Yates could, as Kirby Yates does, as well as anyone, be self-critical. He gave up a couple, good hits, and, he wasn't his sharpest. But he and Eric Hosmer did do enough to get out of that inning.
Right.
And, this is an issue here. I mean, Francisco Mejia had three hits. If Francisco Mejia could just be kind of better, I think you might have your catcher answer. Just like if Austin Hedges could just hit kind of better, then you'd have your catcher answer. But that's like, those are like gigantic ifs, and they seem to get bigger all the time. The catcher issue is a big deal, and it's a bummer for the Padres because they have the best defensive catcher. Now it's not just like, oh, we're just saying that because we're in San Diego. The metrics support it. Your eye test supports it. He is the best, Austin Hedges. But he also is hitting 200, so that's a problem. Francisco Mejia, you have so many things there. You have the, his defense just isn't very good. There are lapses where it's awful, and then there is just the built-in communication issue. Now, can that get better? Sure. He's not ever going to be Austin Hedges in terms of the, you know, the empathy and just the care level. It's just, and I don't mean that as a bad thing. It sounds like I'm saying Mejia doesn't care. It's just, that's not ever going to be there, but let's stop measuring him against Austin Hedges. But I honestly think they're going to continue to look for a catcher in the offseason. That's a problem.
Right, and that kind of takes us to what we had said we would talk about today, which is sort of spinning it forward a little bit and looking at where this team is looking for next year. And catcher is a position where it seems like they need to improve. You know, first base, they're whatever, you know, my opinion or anybody else's opinion of Hosmer, he's going to be the first baseman. He's had a pretty good offensive season. I don't think anybody could deny that. And he had a huge game on Sunday with the Grand Slam. And his RBI total is, I think, 75 right now. Which is pretty good for early August. And he's been a much better offensive player than he was a year ago. I still have serious doubts about his defense. He can be very good at times, as he was in the ninth inning. He can also be not as good. I have never put any stock in Gold Gloves, certainly since Derek Jeter started winning them. And what I've seen from Hosmer makes me wonder how he won those Gold Gloves, or maybe he was just a lot better then, or maybe he got a reputation and that's what carries it along. But he does have lapses at first base and sometimes tries to do a little too much. Sometimes it pays off. It did in the ninth inning. But look, he's going to be the first baseman. Who's going to be the second baseman on opening day next year? Is it going to be Urias, or are they going to make a deal? There's no way to predict that now, but how do you read? Because obviously shortstop and third base are taken care of for many years to come. Where do we stand at second base?
Well, it's one of the positions, just like center field and a corner outfield spot, and catcher, where they looked into things last month. I don't think second base is something they necessarily came close on, but they'll continue to look there because whoever's coming up in the system is more than a year away. And, you know, they're emphatic that 2020 is not acceptable to be at this level in 2020. In 2020, in August, we still need to be talking about, like, the wild card lead or you know, right there in the wild card race. That's the thinking of the Padres. So, you know, but Luis Urias, it is way, way too early to be giving up on him. But in the context of what I just said, which is based on what the Padres are saying, which is their contention window starting next year, this is where you get into some problems. It's like, it's not fair to Luis Urias to say, and it would be unwise to say, oh, that's a bust. But wait a minute. Like, the developing guys at the major league level has to stop. So,
right,
yeah,
right.
They can't do this. Now, Luis Urias had, I think, maybe there was a hitting streak. There certainly was an on-base streak. That's what I'm more confident in that. Getting on base better. And so, well, that's cool. And his defense has been good. So let's not overreact to a terrible play on Sunday. But, you know, also, what is he hitting, you know, 110 or something? It's not even worth me knowing what he's hitting. It's so bad.
Right.
So, yeah, they're going to continue to look there. I'd say, Jay, let's, you know, we can start with where they set. Hunter Renfroe is going to be in the outfield next year, and I believe he's going to be essentially an everyday player. You named Machado, Tatis, and Hosmer. After that, it's kind of interesting that they expect to contend next year.
Exactly. You've got four positions that are basically basically open. I mean, unless you're going to buy into Margot, and I let's see what happens over the last part of the season. I would like to see Margot play almost every day from here on out, and have Renfroe play almost every day, and then, you know, use Myers and Naylor and maybe Jankowski if he's back up here pretty soon, and use that left field position for that. But I really think this is a good time to find out about Manuel Margot. And you know, he got hot again at Dodger Stadium. I think they said on TV he has more home runs at Dodger Stadium this year than any other visiting player, which is something.
Well, I think in his career, too.
Right.
More against them.
So he's been great there. But let's see him in the lineup, you know, over these last, I don't even know, what is it, 45, 50 games that
That's 110, so 52?
52? Yeah. Okay, so these last 52 games. Let's see him out there for 45 games or something, and let's see what you know, let's see what there is. Let's see if he continues the improvement that he's shown at various times this year. You know, the other spot we talked, I think, on one of our most recent podcasts, you can't trust Will Myers. You know, even he could have a great last 2 months of the year. And are you still going to, I think you mentioned, are you still going to go into next year thinking, wow, this is the Will Myers that we thought we would be getting when we agreed to pay him $20 million in 2020. So that's an obvious spot where of need at this point, because I don't think there's anyone, you know, Taylor Trammell's not going to be, whatever the Padres think of him, he's not going to be ready next year to play on a team that they want to contend. So those are the key spots right now, I would think.
It's too many spots, Jay. Mm-hmm. I mean, almost every one of these guys, we could say, you know what, you can go into next year with Manuel Margot if Will Myers wasn't a question and Luis Urias wasn't a question.
And catcher.
Oh, man, you know what? Will Myers has such an upside. You could go into next year if he finishes strong and you're like, okay, fine. You know, we'll go. Will Myers is such an upside. We'll take Will Myers next year. Well, except for you have all these other holes, and you can't have four potential spots in your batting order every day that are outs. And so that is why they need to shore up a couple of those in the offseason, or at least be confident, like Manuel Margot, who I think probably right now, and you know what a huge Will Myers guy I am, but right now, Manuel Margot is your surest bet. Of all those questions, he's the one you go, you know what, maybe we can trust Manuel Margot, and I agree with you that we got to find out by the rest of the year. And here's the deal. In the Padres are getting to a point. They just need a couple more. They've got Tatis. They've got Machado. Those are two superstar-level players that playoff teams have, but they need more of them. You can't be going in every day. Now, Jay, all that we've said about the position players, they scored 10 runs on Sunday. It was their first time in over a month, almost a month and a half, that they'd done that. Jay, the pitching to me is still the big thing. And now you got Garrett Richards walking off the mound last night with some shoulder tightness, and evidently that's something he's had before. So, I'm assuming that, Jeff Sanders is going to find out more today, be it, you know, he covers the minors and also he's the one in Seattle. But, you know, Garrett Richards, who is going to come back in at the end of August and maybe be a big part of their rotation next year. Denofa Lamet pitches tonight in Seattle. You know, gosh, can he get it together in terms of the command and be a big part of the rotation. Chris Paddock, I think you're safe there saying, look, this is going to be one of our go-to guys next year. Joe Lucchese, maybe. I still say, Jay, the pitching is, you know, this team would have a better record this year and a better outlook if you could add a few more dependable arms there.
Well, there's no question, and you didn't even get into the bullpen, which is where there were so many issues this year. I mean, even with some of the starting, some of the guys that, you know, we saw as starters that maybe probably weren't ready to start. I mean, certainly Margavichus, although he did throw some decent games. But, you know, with everything that happened with the rotation, they still would have a few more, you could say they'd still have a few more wins if the bullpen had pitched better. Now, what happens with the bullpen? Kirby Yates, you know, we talked about him. He's been fantastic. Sunday aside and a couple other games against the Dodgers aside, for the most part, Yates has been lights out. He's got one more year left on his deal. We talked a little bit last week about a possible extension for a year or two, which would, you know, tie him to the Padres or make him also a favorable trade candidate because he'd be under control. Craig Stammen is a free agent. I think Stammen's been, you know, with three or four obvious exceptions, if you look at Stammen's game logs as opposed to his overall numbers, his game logs are pretty impressive. I think I texted you the other day when he gave up the home run. I think it was only the second home run he had given up since that four home run debacle, something like two homers in 23 games. Or 23 outings that he had had. But he's a free agent and he's, what, 35 years old?
He's 35. He'll be 36 at the end of next year. What I would say right now is if you believe you're a contender next year, if Craig Stammen, and he does want to stay, now what does that mean in terms of what are other teams willing to pay? And he will have opportunities because, as you said, he's still a very viable reliever. And those, you know, the guy's been put in a bunch of difficult situations. And so if we're talking about three or four that he's blown, it's a pretty good season for Craig Stammen. If you think you're a contender next year, you make an effort to re-sign Craig Stammen at least for a year, and maybe you have to give him two, because, you know, if you got Andres Munoz, if you can get Gerardo Reyes right, if you've got Trey Wingenter right, and you're only pitching Craig Stammen in, you know, medium leverage situations, I think that's something you at least need to try to do.
Right, and I think Munoz is a big key, and look, he didn't fare well the other day, but until then he had been fantastic. So I think he's another guy that I would love to see, and I think the Padres would want to see this. They want to pitch him in high leverage situations over the next couple of months and see what he does. Up until Sunday, he had been really good.
Andres Munoz too. That was bad. So anything I'm about to say is not an excuse. It was his first bad outing. He had a leadoff walk, but he gave up an infield single. And if I'm not mistaken, that inning could have got disastrous. The Dodgers, who that day brought Cody Bellinger, Will Smith, and Justin Turner off the bench.
Right.
That's a pretty good team. He got Justin Turner to get out of that inning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Or at some point, it was either the second or the third out. That inning, for a 20-year-old kid who's out there at Dodger Stadium getting rocked for the first time, he got out of that inning, I think, was fairly impressive.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I would agree with that. And again, you're not going to hold one bad outing against a guy like that. I mean, no reliever is going to be perfect. We've seen it from you know, Mariano Rivera to Trevor Hoffman on down. I mean, guys are going to give up runs, and that's going to happen. You know, the key is in the middle there. You mentioned Wingenter. You mentioned Reyes. I mean, Jose Castillo has pitched really well for Elsinore in the last couple of weeks, and I would think we'd see him up here very soon. You know, I'm sure I'm forgetting a couple of other potential guys in the middle, but that's where the key is they've got to, if you can have Munoz in the eighth and Yates in the ninth and Stammen, Mick, if you re-sign him, he's in there in the sixth and seventh the way he was the other day.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you find one or two other guys, then I think you could put together a pretty good bullpen.
I really, you know, look, relievers, it is an impossible situation. You basically have to be Kirby Yates, who has, you know, been, you know, so stellar to earn the forgiveness of fans, media, you know, whoever, when you have a bad outing, right? Like, Kirby Yates is the only guy in that bullpen, maybe Andres Munoz because of how crazy, you know, how awesome he was his first seven appearances,
right.
Where you have a bad day and people shrug.
Uh-huh.
Other than that, you know, Trey Wingenter pitched a perfect seventh inning yesterday, on Sunday. At
right.
Dodger Stadium,
right.
2 days or 3 days after getting destroyed. That's kind of impressive. But you know what? His job is to do that every single time. And so, you know, Trey Wingenter is a pretty darn good pitcher. And now, do I think he should be your closer or your eighth inning guy? No. But he's a potential viable member of your bullpen. All this stuff that we've said that sort of sounds like, oh man, these two guys must think the Padres are far away. I, for one, Jay, see some pretty easy fixes, but the Padres have to be aggressive about doing them. I do think the contention next year is a likelihood and certainly a possibility. I am not of the thought of, oh, this record and oh, these results mean that the Padres are so far away. I absolutely do not believe that. I do think there are. The point here for me today is that there are some pretty significant and aggressive fixes that need to be made.
I would agree. I would say right now, I think you mentioned both likelihood and possibility. I would right now, I'm on the possibility side as opposed to the likelihood side. But again, we're talking today on August the 6th, you know, the season that we're talking about, whether they contend or not is March 29th or whatever the date is next year that I haven't even looked it up that the season starts. So we are many, many months away. And I would assume many, many moves away from a final roster for the start of 2020. But are they far away? No, I don't think they're far away, but they are far away if they don't get a couple fixes. And I think a couple of the positions that we talked about, you can't go into next year with half of your position players being question marks, you know, the way that they are right now. And you can't go in with the rotation being all first and second year pitchers, which is what it's been for pretty much this entire season. So I think it's not far away, but it's not, I wouldn't call it around the corner right now either. I think, you know, we've laid it out for the front office here. We've told them exactly where they need to go and get some help. And so now, you know, it's up to them, right?
We've done our part, Jay. Clap my hands together and I'm done.
And of course, we left out the biggest part, which is the managerial situation, but we don't have 6 hours to get into to what's going on there. I think, you know, again, I don't know that Andy Green's a good manager. I certainly don't think he's a bad manager. A couple of moves mystified me over the weekend, but there's also moves that have been made that, you know, have resulted in a lot of positive results as well. I still think it's more about players, like I mentioned. Whatever else happened on Sunday, they had a 10-7 lead and couldn't close it out. That part is not on the manager. Other parts certainly are. So we'll save that for another, you know, show or 20 down the road.
Here's where I think we are with Andy Green, and the reason that I'll even reluctantly go down this road just for a minute is we're up to dozens of emails a day now, right? About where Andy Green is. They're during game, they're right after game, they're when I wake up in the morning, a couple are waiting, that people want to talk about Andy Green. One suggestion the other day was Joe Torre. And I hate to respond to a – I'm just going to – I bring that up for – because there's also Joe Madden and Joe Girardi and basically anybody but Andy Green.
I did see Mike Socha as well.
Mike Socha, there's another one. I bring up the Joe Torre one is because it reminded me when you said you don't know if he's a good manager or bad manager. I'm positive Joe Torre was a fantastic manager. I'm positive Joe Torre was also the right manager of the Yankees in New York at the time. It takes a special man to manage in New York. My goodness, he had a lot of good players. How good of a manager was Joe Torre?
I've said that with Bruce Bochy. Bruce Bochy's going to be in the Hall of Fame with a sub-500 regular season record. And everybody thinks – now, everybody didn't think Bruce Bochy was a great manager when he was with the Padres, but everybody thinks he's a great manager when he left.
Supposedly, Mickey Callaway was upset at a writer in New York who said, "See you tomorrow, Mickey," because Mickey thought he was losing his job.
Right.
The Mets are like 17-5 over their last like 22 games or something, and now they have a rotation that they'd be idiotic to trade anybody from. The Mets, I mean, it's ridiculous, Jay. All right, that's enough.
Anyway,
I could go forever.
I think the idea of spending most of our time talking about players today was the right idea because ultimately that's what that's what wins and loses more games than anything else is the talent you have. So anyway, enjoy your time the next couple days. And I know you will be back at Petco Park on Thursday for a 4-game series against the Rockies. What a showdown that will be. And with the
Rockies. Remember when that was like a battle for second place?
I know. And the Rockies.
Battle for last.
Right. And the Rockies have been got to the wild card game the last couple of years. And now this year, suddenly.
Oh, who's their manager?
I was going to say, suddenly that guy must not be able to manage anymore because they're terrible. So anyway, we need to cut this off before we go any further down that rabbit hole, and we will talk to everyone on Thursday.
You don't want to talk about umpires, Jay? Okay, we gotta go.